Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportist.
Hello and welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportists. My name is Ron Cook and I am joined by Joe Sperlin.
Welcome to everyone. I'm glad to be down in the library today, coming live.
You look very scholarly.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, yes. Doug Lansdowne.
Back after being on assignment. Happy to be here.
Outstanding. And Tom Mathis.
Good evening, everybody.
I am joined here in the Thunderdome by Mr. Keith Farrell.
Cheers, everybody.
In tonight's episode, Mizzou and Illinois roll through week two. The Chiefs remain undefeated in North America, but not in Brazil. The Cardinals get on a hot streak and then run into a Northwestern ambush. And just when you think City has run out of creative ways to lose, they prove us all wrong. The St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings. Jason and his team will take your project from design to completion with a family-first approach. You can learn more at 1stcoaststeel.com, and we will hear more from them later in the show. If you're listening or watching and you have a chance, please give us a like, a rating, or follow us. That you have no idea how much that helps us. It really does. So, and we thank all of you for joining us for this episode. We're on X, Blue Sky, Facebook, and Instagram. Our website is stlsportists.com. And with that, it's time for quick hits, Joe Sperlin.
My quick hit was Lane Kiffin at the end of the game. I don't know if you watched the Ole Miss Kentucky game when Kentucky hit a field goal there with 13 seconds left, down 10. And after the game, they interviewed Kiffin, and he's going through it, and he just casually mentions, "Hey, sorry to all you gamblers out there." I'm sure there wasn't an official statement, but I'm sure someone from the SEC, meaning the conference or the Ole Miss athletic department, said, "Lane, don't do that." but he had that smirk and looked right at the camera and said, "Hey, you gamblers, sorry about that."
And I almost picture like another kind of team manager or PR person standing there with another phone saying NCAA. Yeah. So he'd go from one to the next call, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he got the, "Hey, don't say that."
Oh, that's, yeah. Hope you enjoyed that, because that's the only time. Yeah. Doug Lansdowne.
College football nugget also. I don't know how good they'll be this year, but if you're looking for a team to hit your wagon on, I was caught a little action the other day of Rice in Houston. And Houston beat the dog out of them, but Rice runs the triple option.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yep, and they run it. So the first game, they threw seven passes, and I think they threw nine the first game, and I think they threw 12 the other day, but they were way behind. But yeah, they ran the triple option.
Now we know why E.J. Warner left.
Are they doing it out of a shotgun or a flex bone, or how are they running it?
Flex bone is the little bit I saw of it. They were the flex bone.
Nice. The Georgia Tech attack lives.
So how does that offensive coordinator get hired?
Ooh. Well, because he goes in and says, "I have some out-of-the-box ideas."
Apparently.
Mr. Mathis.
I'm going to touch on the Cardinals. I think through the last 4 or 5 years, kind of seen that the Cardinal way, as they like to talk about, is gone. And I'd say that one of the biggest reasons that is gone is the loss of the legends. We've lost Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Whitey Herzog. I mean, the list goes on. And I think that that's had a bad effect on the team. It's, especially the fans. I mean, the Red Jackets are not what they used to be.
No, no, certainly not. It's almost to the point where is Ozzie Smith like our
ambassador? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is he the guy?
I think he is. I think he is. I mean, it's him and Simmons, really. And, you know, then you got the younger generation of players, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the guys from the guys from 06 and 11, which is getting farther in the rear view than is really comfortable.
Yeah.
Yes.
On many levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Farrell.
1982.
Yeah.
Well, my big quick hit was football is back. Kind of nice to see the NFL. Great action this past week. Couple takeaways. I think the Detroit Lions had a disastrous opening week. Losing to Green Bay, they committed to the run early and they stuck to it. And Jared Goff was 31 for 39 for 225 yards, pretty effective. Detroit's rushing was 22 carries up for 46 yards.
Oh.
They just kept jamming that ball and getting nothing. The Kansas City Chiefs, they could be the worst team in the West after watching that first game. They lack creativity. And think about this. They lost, or they won 10 games last year by one score. All right.
True.
And if you look at the way the Broncos played, if you look at what Las Vegas and obviously the Chargers beat them pretty handedly, you know, it's going to be a long season for Kansas City.
Thank you, Keith. And for my quick hit, the thing that I can't keep straight, and it doesn't help that I'm not really an NFL guy, is if they want kickoff returns or not. And so they voted in this, they call it the dynamic kickoff, because you can't just call it the kickoff where the guys line up 5 yards from each other or something like that. It's the dynamic kickoff. And they voted to keep it. They moved the touchdowns from the 30 to the 35, and the idea was to encourage more returns. And not counting Monday night, the league is getting their wish. 18% of kickoffs have been a touchback. Last year in week one, it was 64.5. And the NFL executives predicted that returns would be in the 64, mid-60 range, and they were 77, almost 80%. A lot more kickoff returns, and I guess they're okay with it now, but I thought that at one point they were trying to take the kickoff return out of the game. Joe, I can't keep that straight.
Well, I think when they realized not giving guys a 40-yard run at somebody and the injuries, that now it's, if you watch them, they get about a 10-yard run and then someone's locked up with them and the hits aren't near as bad. And I think that's probably the main thing, the injuries.
That could be it. And it, you know, it's no returns for a touchdown. There was a pretty long one, but no returns for a touchdown in week one. But it was week two of college football, or if you count week zero, it was week three. Tom Mathis, the University of Missouri Columbia, faced their bitter rival, Kansas. And pretty entertaining football game.
It was a good game. They kind of had me worried. They went down pretty quick and scored. But then the rest of the first quarter was not pleasant. And they kind of had me worried, but they stayed with it. And they came back. And they have a good quarterback, and they have two really good running backs. And I think they're going to be, you know, pretty tough for some teams to handle.
So I'll ask this question to Tom, but then I think everyone kind of, you know, is free to chip in on this. I brought this up in our chat the other night. I said, so if you want your one non-conference win to matter, you as a Mizzou fan need to root for Kansas to win a lot more games and have a really good record at the end of the year, right?
Well, it's pretty hard to do that when you root for them to lose every single game they play. So I guess in this case, we're just going to have to have a couple other big wins.
Oh, okay. Okay. I guess that's one way to look at it, Doug. You can just, you know, if you salt it in, if you go undefeated, I guess it won't matter.
Exactly. That's the college football fans' way of looking at it.
Yes. Yes. Keith Farrell, the Illinois Fighting Illini, faced what some people thought would be a tight game. It was for three quarters.
Well, they're, you know, I think the, you know, you watch this Altmyer kid. He just looked poised. He looked like he was in total command of that game. And it was kind of refreshing to watch an Illinois quarterback be in control. And I think this is where Illinois is going to go as far as he's going to take the team. And, of course, you know, Duke shot themselves in the foot with some turnovers at the end, but takes a good defense to force those turnovers.
That's true.
So it's a four-quarter game, and Illinois made Duke pay the price for not taking care of the ball.
Indeed, they did. Doug Lansdowne down in Starkville, or Stark Vegas, as the kids like to call it. Arizona State goes in as the number 11th rated team. And they got way too much cowbell from Mississippi State. Is the SEC just that much better than the Big 12, or is this just one team beating another team?
I think they're that much better, because Arizona State, I know they lost that good running back, but they still had a lot of guys back. And, you know, of course, if the games played out in Arizona, could be different. But I do think they're that much better than the Big 12.
Yeah, I really do did enjoy, and you can find it if you look on any social media of your choice, that Mississippi State is using the More Cowbell skit from Saturday Night Live to get people to use their artificial noisemakers, which are banned by the SEC. Uh-huh. You're not supposed to be able to bring those in, but then again, it's been that way for, what, 40, 50 years?
Their grandfathers.
Something like that.
They have to be grandfathered.
I got a fever. Okay. Joe Sperling, what else caught your eye in week two?
Well, I would say if you're a Mizzou fan, I don't know until the very last 3 minutes could you take a breath and be calmed down on that. So there was you felt like Mizzou was controlling the entire game, but I don't know if you ever felt comfortable till the very end. But other than that, I love probably the most important thing is people know every head coach's buyout. They're not happy with him. Did you see the woman from Alabama?
Yeah.
That when she said, hey, ma'am, what are you going to do if you win the Powerball? She said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is send $70 million and get rid of that guy.
We were wondering what Legends call would be like on Feinbaum, and my favorite line that he had was, of course, you know, Legend screams all of his comments. He said, I tell you what, Mr. Bauer is about as welcome as a bonus track on a Yoko Ono CD.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, people from Florida can tell you their buyout and whoever wins. I mean, if the Chiefs lose this weekend, they'll be talking what Andy Reid's buyout is, even though it's pretty obvious.
Well, I tell you what, before we leave college, I do want to go back to Florida because, oh my goodness, who saw the South Florida Bulls coming up and doing what they did?
And
nobody.
Hey, and then a guy, you got another guy who spits on somebody right in front of the official.
What is it with the spitting this year, both the NFL and college, I swear?
I have no idea.
I don't get it, but yeah, there could be a buyout situation coming. And of course, the University of Florida has LSU this weekend, which makes them an incredibly dangerous team for the Bengal Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
So Doug, down in Brazil, of all places, the Kansas City Chiefs, right from the beginning, they're tight end and their wide receiver are setting a pick on each other, basically.
Is that illegal?
Is that offensive pass interference? That game was awful. Yeah. That was just an awful game to watch. I rushed home from school and got here right before it started and everything like that. And then it was awful. I mean, the Chargers controlled the entire game.
They did. And Joe, I saw a graphic this morning on ESPN. I was walking through the living room and I look up, and of course, not that ESPN's ever going to be sensationalistic or anything, but it said, is Sunday a must-win game for the Chiefs?
Oh, the world will stop spinning if the Chiefs are 0-2.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They'll blame it all on Taylor Swift, and it'll be her fault. And the NFL's against them, but then there'll be some crazy stat of teams that are 0-2 have never made the playoffs or won a Super Bowl. And I mean, it just, no one wants to see them start off 0-2, but they're probably going to lose two games at some point during the year. So
they will lose two games in a row at some point this year. It's just likely. And in fact, Keith, one of the great stats that I saw today was no team that has given up 40 points in their first game has ever gone to the Super Bowl. And then it had the final score of the Bills 41 and the Ravens 40.
Well,
so I guess those two are eliminated right now.
Yeah, not enough. That's a instant classic game for sure. What was a 1% chance for the Bills to come back and win in that fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just Josh Allen is the new Tom Brady, and he's taken that torch and proved that 2025 is going to be his year. And I don't count the Ravens out of it at all. I think that was more of a fluky win. You know, you got that fluke fumble at the end of the game with Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, week one jitters out of the way. You know, I still think the Ravens are going to be the team coming out of the AFC.
And I want to give Joe Spurlin a little bit of credit, because you were the one that brought up watching the highlight films of Derrick Henry in high school. And there was a chat, an item I put in our chat this week, that he has played 10 years in the NFL and he has yet to get as many yards as he had in high school.
Well, and he was the same size at high school as he is right now.
That's true.
I mean, it was incredible. I saw a deal today. They were talking about the panicking week 1 and 2. And I think they said 2 years ago, New Orleans was 2-0, was averaging 40 a game, and they ended up going 5-12.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And they were like, you know, they had scored 44 on Dallas and beat somebody else. They were 2-0. And
that was last year.
Yeah, going 5-12.
You know, back to the Ravens, too, I saw a stat. No coach in the history of NFL has blown more double-digit second-half leads than Ooh. John Harbaugh.
Ooh. You see, now that's one of those tricky stats, Doug.
Exactly.
Because I would have thought of Jeff Fisher, but he never had the double-digit lead to blow.
Yeah. So, well, and the other thing is, Harbaugh's been in, what, 15 years? I mean.
Exactly. You got to be really good for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like a manager getting ejected 162 times. You know, he had to manage for a while to get run that many times. In other, on the business side of things, the Denver Broncos announced yesterday that they are going to build a retractable roof, translucent roof stadium downtown near one of the entertainment districts in Denver. It is going to be largely privately financed, and it's going to be ready by 2031. Do we think that means that Clark Hunt might say, well, if they're going to be hosting Super Bowls and Final Fours, I want to be hosting Super Bowls and Final Fours?
Yeah, it's a copycat league in more ways.
Check it.
More ways than.
Expect your prices at Walmart to go up, folks.
Yep. Oh, you know, Joe, that's, I hadn't put that together, but you're exactly right.
Isn't there some other guy we know that's kind of Walmart money? I'm going to let that go. Forget it.
We don't talk about that in St. Louis very much.
I know. That's why I say scratch that. Edit that, Ron.
Okay. Yeah, we just my favorite was when they had the lightning delay at their alleged dome stadium, because in one of those translucent roof things, apparently you can still get struck by lightning. And so I believe it was year 1 or 2 that the Rams were out there and a storm came in and they were in a lightning delay.
Well, I'll tell you my dome story. I was covering a football game at the University of Northern Iowa.
The Uni Dome.
At the Uni Dome. And they suspended the game because there was so much snow on the roof that they thought the roof could collapse.
Wow.
So I wonder what the engineer is going to do about that.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. I wonder if they'll put heating, you know, it makes me happy. I'm not a building engineer.
Yeah.
Good. Or maybe they just open it and let it, I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. So with that, we are going to take a break and we are going to hear from the good folks at First Coast Steel Buildings. When we come back, it's time for Blue Horseshoes Corner. College and pro picks coming up, as well as a look at the St. Louis Cardinals, who, Doug, they're playing 500 baseball. If only someone would have predicted that.
Who would have thunk it?
And finally, City creatively finds ways to do things we never imagined. All when we come back.
At First Coast Steel Buildings, we stand out by combining cutting-edge engineering with a family-first approach to customer service. Every building is custom designed, ensuring a perfect fit for your location and purpose, while our galvanized steel guarantees durability and resilience. Contact Jason and his team at 912-314-4848 or visit their website at firstcoaststeel.com. From fun to practical to industrial, First Coast will provide a custom solution to any building need. From fun projects like a backyard bar or she shed to an industrial storage unit for your business, First Coast has you covered. Visit their website at the number one, stcoaststeel.com, or give them a call at 912-314-4848. Discounts for military and first responders.
And we are back on the St. Louis Sportists podcast. It's Joe Sperlin, Doug Lansdowne, Tom Mathis, Keith Farrell, and my name is Ron Cook. And now it's time for us to test our prognostication abilities and to lead us through that. Blue Horseshoe himself, Joe Sperlin.
Hey, I want to start off by saying a 5-0 first week. I did say Iowa was going to win, but if you took 3.5, that was a winner. So NFL, not so much. You go 500 in the NFL, you're a winner, because unless you got the script, you never know what's going to happen.
And I do want to say, looking back really quickly, Joe, that when I said the only real winners in the Iowa-Iowa State game were people that didn't have to watch, and that turned out to be very true.
Yes. Let's start off. Louisiana, not Louisiana State, Louisiana Cajuns at Mizzou. -27.5. Doug, what do you think?
I think the Raging Cajuns cover.
Ooh.
Ron?
I think that Eli Drinkwitz will ask the officials if he can do something that's illegal again, and they'll tell him yes. And he will use that. He will use that to cover. And I also think that, you know, Mizzou is ranked in the AP poll. They are not ranked in the coaches poll. He wants to move on up. So he's going to run it up. And yes, I just went a little Raging Cajun on there.
What do you think, Keith?
Mizzou is going to take care of them with the points. So I think Mizzou by 27.5. Kind of like what you're thinking. I think they'll beat them by a touchdown per quarter.
Oh, look at math. I like it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Louisiana's first game, they lost to Doug's Rice Owls in the triple option, 14-12. So they're going to face a little bit more point in offense this week. So I'm going to go Mizzou and the points.
You know, I also think Mizzou, Drink's going to try to take care of business, as we all know he does. But I think coming off that emotion of Kansas, and they have South Carolina coming to town next week, I think Mizzou just kind of slides by. Give me the Cajun and the points. It looks like a little sauce on that. So
it's the combination let down, look ahead game.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
A double. Yeah. And I don't, not sure how good Louisiana is, but anyway. All right. Let's go to Champaign with Bert. Bert living the dream. 27.5, Western Michigan from the MAC. MAC action, Ron.
Bert puts the pedal to the metal because he needs impressive wins. Illinois covers.
Keith, what do you think?
I think they cover as well. I think Michigan, Western Michigan, used to be one of those teams where they were always weeks one, two, or three. They always had a big win somewhere along the way. This is not the year for them. So Illinois covers 27.5 again.
Tom?
Illinois covers. They're going to start getting in the Big Ten conference play, so they're going to have to score some points and get some big victories.
What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, unanimous. Bielema's ego is really big.
Here it comes.
Let me get my pencil here. Not so fast, my friend.
Knew it.
Western Michigan played Michigan State close week one, and Illinois has to go at Indiana next week. The old look-ahead game. Give me, and I started to think with the Western Michigan, I don't know what
Chippewas.
The Western Michigan.
Chippewas.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say the Chippewas. Bronco. Give me the points. All right,
Chippewas
let's go
or Broncos?
His Joe, it's Broncos.
Georgia. Huh? Yeah, Central Michigan's the Chippewas, I think.
Ah, you're correct. I stand corrected.
Georgia at Tennessee. Georgia -3.5, Keith.
Well, I picked Tennessee and the points. Georgia dropped two slots in the ESPN poll, and I'm not quite sure why they dropped. I guess it had to do something with the game against Austin Peay. But yeah, we're looking at two ranked teams. Tennessee's at home. Might as well take the points. I like the home team in that situation.
What do you think?
You just
Tom?
Wanted to say Austin Peay again, didn't you?
Yes. He did.
Yeah. I'll take Tennessee because they're at home.
Doug?
I like Tennessee.
You talking money line Tennessee or are you talking with the points?
With the points.
3.5.
Ron, what do you think?
I think Tom Mathis is correct. Neyland Stadium, which, by the way, was designed by General Neyland. Who, of course, was the coach at Tennessee, who in the 30s had a defense that did not give up a touchdown all season. I don't think that this Tennessee team is going to do that, but they're going to win.
I was about to say, that's a pretty bold prediction right there. Let me get my pencil again. Georgia has won the last 8 and covered 6 in a row. Eight out of 9. Give me the Bulldog -3.5. South Florida at Miami. The Hurricanes, not Miami, Oklahoma. -16.5, Tom.
I'm going to take South Florida and the points. I mean, they're on a high right now. So Miami will probably sneak away with the win, but I'm going to take the points.
What do you think, Doug?
Miami wins and covers.
What?
Ron?
There was a friend of mine a few years ago that introduced me to a term called a sucker bet. From this observer's perspective, this looks to me like a sucker bet. I agree with Doug Lansdowne. I think Miami wins and covers because South Florida's done nothing but hear about how great they were this week.
Heath?
I am taking USF with the points only because we're going to have 7 days of rain in South Florida. And I think that's going to create some slippery situations.
Oh dear. So that's the first time we've had meteorology enter into one of our picks.
There you go. Miami plays a team next week called Florida. That I think South Florida will keep it close defensively in the rain. Give me South Florida at 16.5. And I'll start up.
Division there.
I'll start off on this next one. Texas A&M at Notre Dame. I'm taking Texas A&M in the points because Texas A&M was one of my surprise teams, so I can't go against them. Sometimes you flip a coin, but I'm going to go with Texas A&M. Doug, what do you think?
What? How many are they getting?
6.5.
I'll take Texas A&M and the points.
Ron?
Earlier in this episode, I said to Doug Lansdowne, is the SEC just that much better? And he said, yes. So based on the Doug Lansdowne input, I am going to be the first one this week to say it just means more. A&M.
I was getting right. It just means more.
Keith? I'm taking Texas A&M money line. I predicted the Irish would go 0-2 to start the season.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, right, I'll do my. I'll specify mine as money line as well. I don't think it's going to be close.
Oh. What do you think, Tom?
Well, make it a clean sweep for the Aggies. I think they'll probably win as well.
This is another Keith Jackson game. Notre Dame and the Aggies.
Let's go down to Baton Rouge. The Gators at LSU, -7.5. Ron, we'll let you start off. We know who you're going to pick, but go ahead.
Those Gators are going to be all fired up coming out into Death Valley, but we're going to take care of them.
I think it's going to be LSU, and I think they will cover, not by much, because I think Florida, I'm going back to Jack Nicholson, Florida is trying to save lives. And I think they're trying to specifically save the lives of their coaching staff. So it's going to be close. LSU covers, but not a runaway.
Keith, what do you think?
LSU covers. This is not the game for a rebound game for Florida. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be a game where LSU is going to cover on the 7.5.
Tom?
LSU is going to win, but by 7.
I can see that.
Doug, what do you think?
I think that Perkins dude for LSU is pretty good. I think they win and cover. And I think they cover comfortably.
I'd like that.
You know, I was sitting here thinking that this is a Florida deal of they're kind of back against the wall. Are they going to fight for their coach? And then I read these stats that at LSU, Ron, you would know this, they have just beat the daylights out of Florida the past 4 years at LSU. They have scored 42 points. I think they said something about last time at LSU, they scored 52 points and had over 700 yards of total offense.
It's always been the game that I've been like kind of tense about. And then like by the early third quarter, I'm like, yeah, I'll have another crown. I saw something that just made me kind of stop and think. And because we're talking LSU and Florida, they said that the entire fortunes of the Florida program have changed since the throne shoe. That like that was kind of the unraveling point for the entire Florida program. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, Florida was winning a game comfortably. They get a third down stop on our tight end, and the guy, one of the Florida defenders, tackled him by the ankle. He takes off his shoe and chucks it about, 15 yards down the field, Joe?
Yeah.
That allows the LSU happened, to try like, it and win.
Yeah. At least he didn't spit on the shoe.
Well, that's what I was going to say that while ago. Now that the Gators are throwing shoes and they had the bull spin incident, they become the convicts of Florida. You know, they're
Well, if they get off the plane in fatigues, we'll know they've truly gone across the edge.
Exactly.
All right. We've duly noted all those. Let's see what happens. So let's go to the NFL. And let's go to the Thursday night game here first. Washington at Green Bay. Green Bay -3.5. By the way, all NFL games are -2.5, -3.5, 6.5, 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Washington, Green Bay, -3.5. Tom, we will let you sit out. Doug, what do you think?
You know, the Giants really played pretty good against Washington. They were down there and had chances and chances, couldn't put it in. And I think Green Bay wins and covers.
Ron, what do you think?
I think Green Bay covers. It's not close because I think the red, you know, I think it's the Lambeau factor. And then I'm not sure that the Redskins are that good this year. I'm sorry, Commanders.
Wait, yeah, thank you. Don't be sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Green Bay covers. Jordan Love looked in total control last week. That's going to continue this week. It's Green Bay covers at home.
I'm still with Green Bay. I think the Micah Parsons experience is, what did someone call it today? I think Gruden may have called it the Micah Parsons project.
And, I like that.
So, yeah, I think the Packers at home, the excitement off that first win still going on. So,
you know, when you see him run quarterbacks down from behind, that's pretty good.
Then we have, Doug, I told Ron, we always got to have this team in here. Seattle at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh minus 2.5. Ron, what do you think?
I am aboard the Mud Hut Express. I predicted 34 touchdowns for the guy. He throws 4 in week 1. He's right on pace. Pittsburgh wins.
He's on pace to throw 50. So
yeah.
Keith?
Yeah.
I jotted down this. Pittsburgh covers. Seattle still trying to find their identity. Sam Darnold threw 150 passing yards last week. 124 went to one receiver.
Cooper Kupp, not so good.
And was not to Cooper Kupp.
No. Doug, what do you think?
I think Pittsburgh wins and covers comfortably.
I think someone showed on one of the shows, the New York Post said, oh, now he's good. And had a picture of Aaron Rodgers on it. So, you know, I'll just say this. If this stays under 3 points, give me Pittsburgh. If it jumps over 3.5, I'd probably take Seattle. So give me the steel curtain.
If I can have a quick aside, Joe, there was a time, it was in 1996, and you and Doug and I went to see the Cardinals and the Cubs in Chicago, and they had kind of a snarky column down the left-hand side, and the Cubs had a pitcher named Jim Bullinger who went out and just got destroyed by the Cardinals, and they put his picture at the top of the column, and underneath all it said was, thanks for showing up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how they were. That's how they felt about Aaron there. Oh, and then let's keep it at Dallas while we're talking about them. The Giants at Dallas. Dallas minus 5.5. Ron, I'll say this. They're already talking about Jackson Dart. When does he take over?
I saw that. I think Dallas, you know, spitting aside and everything, I think the Dallas offense looks more potent this year, and I think they win easily.
Keith?
I think they cover. They gave the Eagles all they can handle last week. And, you know, if you use that as a barometer, the Giants will be an easy.
Doug, what do you think?
Well, I bragged on the Giants a while ago, so I think Dallas wins, but I'll take Giants and the points.
I'm going to take Giants and the points. And Aaron, this is totally against what I had said earlier. I think we see a Jackson Dart appearance.
Wow. That wouldn't surprise me.
I think it's the old famous Russell will be banged up and he'll come in and, oh, it'll be awful. So
will it be an impingement or an oblique?
It'll be, I think, an impingement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get you
Philadelphia at Kansas City. Kansas City minus 1.5 at home. Keith, what do you think?
Money line on the Eagles. I don't even think it's going to be close.
Doug?
That's my bet.
Ron?
As Chris Berman has been saying since the early 80s, no one circles the wagons like the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, no, I think that's another team. Never mind. But I think this is why the NFL messes with us. And I think Chiefs at home, crowd behind them, and the Chiefs squeak one out.
I think the complaining we saw was not like the Chiefs. I think there's chaos. I love chaos. Give me Philadelphia, and there's the 0-2 Kansas City Chiefs. And it's all going to be Taylor Swift's fault.
Absolutely. Will she be there?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Then our final one, we have to run once again, one of your teams. You were high on the Raiders of Las Vegas are at home. Monday Night Football against the champions of Brazil, Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. They are favorite, -3.5.
Chargers look good.
Doug, what do you think?
The Chargers are given 3.5. It cut out on me.
-3.5 at Allegiant Stadium.
I'm going to take the Raiders and the points.
There you go. Ron, I think you're going to say the Chargers look good.
Chargers look good. Chargers win by a lot.
Oh, a lot. Keith?
Chargers look good. Raiders look bad. I'm just going with the week one trend. Chargers covered.
Yeah, give me the Chargers by a little bit. By the way, if you ever want your team to win, have me watch the game in the fourth quarter when they're comfortably ahead. Have me turn the game off, and your team will come back and win. It's 2-0, folks. Guaranteed, it's 2-0 for me this past week.
And are you going to bid your services out to some betting websites on that?
Yeah.
Good for you.
That's a smart idea.
I'm sitting there going,
the garage.
They're going to run Derrick Henry for the next couple minutes, and this game is over. Ah, but I did not know Derrick Henry would forget to carry the ball with him one time.
You did not receive a copy of the script.
Speaking of running back, I did not have the script. Did you see that trade with Philadelphia and Jacksonville, and Tank Bigsby went up to Philadelphia?
No.
When did this happen?
This week.
Oh my gosh! Now I missed that.
They needed a backup for Saquon Barkley. They're going to try to limit his touches now.
So the Eagles are starting to become like the Dodgers, basically.
Well, they're getting some depth at running back, but the pundits are saying that Jacksonville won the trade.
Yeah, so possible.
Ron, as we go to baseball, I want to remind everybody once again, this is for only entertainment purposes only.
I need to talk to our legal counsel, Tom, to see if I need to be reading that disclaimer that we did at the end of the gambling, one.
If
you wouldn't mind checking with our legal counsel, we really appreciate.
I will say December 1st. Oh, it's on December 1st.
Oh, dear. So with that word of warning, it's time to go to the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals. We're here on Wednesday night getting ready to watch the Cardinals and the Seattle Mariners. In fact, there's a lovely shot of the roof of the stadium. The Cardinals are 72-74. Just like last week, they're 17 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers. But magically, they're 4.5 out of the wild card. Last week, they were 6.5 out of the wild card. Man, you cut down two games a week. The good news is when it comes to the Fangraphs playoff percentage, you know, last week it was 0.3. Now it's 0.6. Man, here we come.
Rolling.
They did win 7 out of 10 games, only to get cold cocked in Seattle, dropping their first two. Doug Lansdowne, is this, I used the term last week for the Chiefs, fool's gold. Is this a little bit of late September fool's gold or mid-September fool's gold we got going here?
Yes.
Yes. In simple terms, yes.
Is there anything redeeming about this team right now?
No.
He's a man. What was it Euchre said? That's what makes him the best analyst in the business.
They're hard to watch. I don't watch them. I catch a few highlights, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But this is the earliest I have stopped paying attention in a long time.
Yeah, it's not like you're tuning in to see specific players anymore.
Exactly.
And I was talking to one of my buddies today. And I said, watching the Cardinals is kind of like going to a funeral. You kind of have to watch it because it's on TV, but it's kind of sad. You know it's going to be a sad outcome. But you got to watch it. It's not a fun team to watch. The only redeeming thing, the only spotlight that I can see that is Mason Wynn has a great chance of winning the Gold Glove this year.
Despite the fact he's got a torn meniscus.
I think.
And he's playing on his torn meniscus. He's playing,
and I think because he wants to win the Gold Glove.
Probably so. Oh, they say, I've actually heard some of the statistics, Tom Mathis, some of the fielding stats say he might win a platinum glove, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. With three errors, he should win the platinum. I mean, just think about three errors at shortstop with the ground he covers is pretty incredible.
And he's not doing it on the, as someone called the AstroTurf, he's not playing on a pool table exactly anymore. So.
Exactly. Well, with Michaelis and Palante throwing, you know, batting practice up there, he's getting 100 mile an hour.
That's true.
Ground balls and short hops and everything else. I mean, the guy is doing everything he can for this team. And, you know, hopefully we lock him up.
Our high school coach, Rex Sawyer, when he was angry at us, he would take the jugs machine, you know, the one with the two spinning wheels, and we'd have to field ground balls, and he'd crank it up to God knows what, like 100, and just fire ground balls at us out of that thing. And when the balls are coming off the bat, like with Michaelis pitching and Palante pitching, that's the experience I think that the infield gets.
Ron, I thought you were going to say he made you stand in front of it like Happy Gilmore.
And I'm going to say this much, too. We've all been critical of Nolan Gorman. This last 30 days of watching him at third base, he's done a pretty darn good job over there. And that transition took some bumps and some bruises, but he has really settled in over there. He's made some great plays.
He's settled in, and his strikeout percentage is down. His walk rate is up. His batting average is the same, which makes no sense.
That's the fool's gold right there. That's the question.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but, you know, it's like we talked about. He was working out at second base. He wasn't getting any work at third. And now he's over there and he's proven that he can do a pretty decent job. He's the one guy that I think they should keep. He should be batting sixth, in my opinion. You don't want him four or five, but down at six or even third where he's been the last few games, because when Contreras was out and he had Contreras or Gorman third and Wynn fourth, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was horrible to watch.
So Doug, what's the best possible thing you could do in this situation? Have Nolan Arenado come back like in 3 or 4 days, right?
Yep. Perfect.
Have him chew up some games at third base.
Yeah, and go ahead and call up that other catcher too. Rodriguez. Let's bring him up.
His season ended yesterday, so.
It did end yesterday. Bring him up.
Catchers everywhere. And then to close out our Cardinal action, Liam Doyle is coming to Springfield, coming down to Southwest Missouri, Joe. They say that Bloom is kind of slow and deliberate with young pitching talent, but man, do you think we could see him in the rotation next year?
I don't think so. I think he'll probably start the season in Springfield. And then, you know, if he has a good first half, they might promote him. I just don't think we'll see him next year. But in 2027, if there's a 2027 season, you probably should, you know, looking for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Moving on to from one unpleasant and disappointing team to an even more unpleasant and disappointing team, it's time for the City Minutes, because for those of you that didn't hear it last week, we decided that we were going to give St. Louis City exactly as much time as they deserved, which we have determined to be 60 seconds. So I will give the brutal numbers, and then we turn Keith Farrell loose for 60 seconds. He's gnawing at the bit right now. St. Louis City has a 1-1 tie versus Dallas that, in the words of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, felt like a loss. How can a 1-1 tie or draw feel like a loss? Well, Dallas got a red card, and St. Louis City played with a one-man advantage for 74 minutes. 74 minutes. During that time, they could manage only one goal. They did have 41 shots, 14 of which were on goal. And, they can only draw when they play with one more man. The current record is a abysmal 5-17-7, good for 22 points, 5 points behind Sporting Kansas, which really makes me angry. Only 2 points over L.A. and last place this Saturday. They will be on the road in Montreal, where they will hopefully get a good stake. Montreal is basically our kind of mirror companion in the standings. They're one spot above last place. They sport an equally terrible 5-16-9 record, good for 24 points. So they only have two more points than us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keith Farrell, you're on the clock. Go.
So we played Dallas. This was not a double-digit win team. They had only won six games up to that point. Okay, so it's not like we had a situation where we were playing Philadelphia or Vancouver or anything like this. So we're playing a team that pretty much sucked too. And so if there was one major takeaway from this match on Saturday, it's that we lack offensive structure, talent, and creativity to win any game at this point. It's when we win, it's a fluke. So now we look at our defense. They managed to let a goal in when we're down a person. That shouldn't happen, folks. Just shouldn't happen. If there was one major test for Coach David Chrisley to pass, it was Saturday. He failed. And you got to get a goal. You got to get a goal. 41 shots. What are you doing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Are you allowing these guys to sail the ball 10 feet right of the net, 10 feet left of the net, 30 feet over the net? What are you guys doing? I mean, you got to do better. So here's my prediction. There's going to be a major overhaul. We have 22 goals with our top four scorers. That's between Klaus, who has 9, who scored 3 in one game. So that's kind of fluky. Hartle has 5, Leuven has 5, and Tuchert has 3. Those are our money players. All have to go.
Cleaning house indeed.
That's 1 minute right there.
They'll find padlocks on their locker.
Change the locks.
There we go. All right.
Well, and I will say my family had an enjoyable time at the game. Rhonda was very pleased with the facility. Everything was great. I asked her about the soccer and she just kind of was like, it was good. I mean,
that's fine. It is still a great time to go down.
There was people chasing the ball, kicking it around. I mean, that was her comment. So
that's actually fairly accurate. No, it's still a great time to go down to Energizer Park. I mean, the pregame at the, there are so many areas you can go to. You can go to Schlafly. You can go to Maggie O's. You can go to the pitch. After the game, you can go anywhere you want, as long as it's not to our secret location, which we're still not going to tell. Right. It's an undisclosed location. And so with that, we have reached the last call. And, by the way, we have a potential sponsor for the last call. If they're listening, hey, yeah, we're going to talk this weekend.
Sweet.
So, Joe Sperlin, what do you have?
I want to make sure, hold on here. I got to make sure I have this correct. What am I doing? Give me a moment. I'm sorry. I was prepared.
I can edit this out.
Got it. What if I told you a program that was banned for using money found its footing again by spending even more money? That was from Kegs and Egg, because a sequel to Pony Excess 30 for 30 is coming to ESPN on September 21st. Thunder On, Resurgent of the SMU Mustangs, covers the Ponies' rises from the ashes, including the move to the ACC and the berth in the college football playoff, and their first appearance at Springfield, Missouri this weekend. I don't know.
This weekend.
But there you go.
They may not include that. That for my money, is my all-time favorite 30 for 30. And yes, as I told Joe Sperlin, it contains possibly my favorite little cutaway when, after Texas A&M gave Eric Dickerson the Gold Trans Am and he elected not to go to A&M but SMU, they flashed to Norm Hitzkus and he says, A&M was furious, but what could they say? Hey, you didn't honor your bribe.
That is 100%. That is probably one of the better 30 for 30s. I can't wait for this one, too. So
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Very, very good. Doug Lansdowne.
On 30 for 30, I like the guru of Go.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, West End.
Yeah, that's
it. Is.
I want to say happy birthday to Randy Johnson. Since the Cardinals are out in Seattle playing and everything, or the big unit turned 62 today. You know what he does now?
He's a photographer.
He's a professional photographer. So,
yep.
I mean, is every picture he takes like, does it look like it's from a drone?
Yeah.
How does a 6'10 guy take pictures? That's all I want to know. So, happy birthday to the big unit.
Yeah, didn't he shoot a Super Bowl? Because I think I saw a picture of him like in the photographer vest shooting a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Go figure. Tom Mathis.
Him and Junior and Marshawn Lynch. They're all, yeah.
I'm again going to make my last call a double. Something just happened that just kind of irked me. My favorite player, Juan Soto. He just hit a home run to bring his team within 9-2 in the bottom or the eighth inning. So he closed that gap up to 7 on the night after the Phillies clinched the playoff spot. But he pimped the ride as he ran around the bases. I mean, have some class. You're down 9-2. Don't be doing that stuff then. You know, no one in the top. He's just useless. My real last call is...
Pick your moments. Yeah, I agree.
Yep. My real last call is the record for 50 home run hitters in a season is 4, and that was in 2001. We have the big dumper this year with 53, Kyle Schwarber with 50. But then we have Ohtani at 48. He'd probably get 2 more. And then with an outside chance... Yeah. With an outside chance to get 50 is Suarez with 45. And Aaron Judge at 44. So we might have 5 guys getting 50 home runs. There's an outside chance of it, though. Aaron Judge did not get a home run off of Jack Flaherty tonight, so that doesn't help his cause. So, but it'd just be interesting to see if that happens, see how close they can get.
Yeah, and, you know, we went a long time, and when I say we, people of our age, we went from George Foster in 77 to, Fielder in, like, 90 or 91? We went a long time without a 50 home run hitter.
Right, and even between Foster and who did it before, well, I guess it was Maris and Mantle. So
yeah.
Frank Robinson had a 50-year or 58. Home run season on that.
That's an excellent question. I know he got close.
I don't think he did. I think the year he won the MVP, he might have got 49, but that was about it.
Yeah. 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 And talk about, I use him in the Immaculate Grid frequently. People seem to forget about Frank Robinson. Just a fantastic career.
Yep.
Mr. Farrell.
Well, so as lovely as it's been to watch the St. Louis City soccer team this season, thank God. They only have 5 games left. All right. Cardinals, just a little takeaway too. Just saw a stat the other day that there's a metric out there that said the Cardinals should actually be 7 or 8 games worse than what their actual record is. So kudos to Ali Marmol for, and I'm a big Marmol fan, but I just don't think he's going to withstand this next season with the new GM going in. But all that said, looking forward to the Blues starting their preseason action.
Boom.
A week from Saturday on September 20th. Holy smokes. Knocking on the door.
And they signed last year's first-round draft pick today. Mr. Carboneau signed him to a 3-year entry-level deal. So, not bad.
Take it.
We'll take it.
Some good news. This is the Blues. The Blues will be... the positive news. They're going to be the best ticket in St. Louis, and they kind of deserve it.
I agree. Yeah, certainly the most well-run organization right now in town by a wide margin.
When you're getting more fans at a 18,000 seat facility than you're getting at Cardinal games, you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cardinals are doing something wrong.
Or both. Or both.
Two things can be right.
It's two things can be right at the same time. And for my last call, I'm going to kind of go with the Tom Mathis baseball thing. And this is one that I didn't realize. This comes from one of my great sports publications that I follow. It's called The Wall Street Journal. And I ask my lovely wife, Jamie Kay, I'm like, hey, did you know? And she's like, oh, yeah, I saw that article. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. You read the journal. With the so playoffs are coming up. Here we are September 10th as we record this. There has still not been a no-hitter in the major leagues this season. And that may not sound all that strange, but it's actually been a while. The last time MLB had a season with zero no-hitters was 2005. And since the beginning of divisional play, it's only happened five times. That was 1969. So you're looking at a good long time there. And only 19 times since 1900. So now, of course, that being said, this is kind of a ripe time because you'll have, you know, some of your good pitchers still getting their reps in, and you'll have some teams looking at minor leaguers and things like that. So it could happen, but still, no-hitters.
Been close, you know. Jackson Holliday broke up a no-hitter in the top of the ninth with two outs. Cardinals are still playing.
So oh yeah,
every night's a night where they can get no-hitters.
Speaking of, Lars Nootbaar is at the plate right now, Joe Spurlin, and they are underway in the Emerald City. So
go Lars.
So with that, we want to thank every single one of you for listening to this episode of the St. Louis Sportists podcast. And we would like to thank Joe Spurlin.
Thank you. I got some books I got to read coming up, so.
Get busy on that. Do you get? Oh, I hope you have a good bookmark. That's very important.
Good to visit with you guys. Good to see you, everyone.
Doug Lansdowne.
Your no-hitter will have to be combined because none of these jacklegs throw more than five innings.
I was thinking the same thing, Doug.
The same article said that the average starting pitcher is going just over five innings now.
Yep.
Who would have thought the quality start would be aspirational? Tom Mathis.
I did a survey on MLB.com the other day, and that was actually one of their questions. Should starting pitchers, should the rules be adjusted so the starting pitchers go longer? So maybe they'll change something around. I don't know, but we'll see.
I got one of those a few years ago, and it's like, is there anything else we should know? And I typed, Rob Manfred is very, very bad at his job.
I should have done that. I'm going to say it's a great weekend of college football. Find a spot on a couch and enjoy the day.
Indeed. And Keith Farrell.
26 more outs before the Cardinals are no hit. Have a good week, everybody.
In case you're wondering, it's Logan Gilbert on the hill for the Mariners tonight, so that's actually a possibility.
So and there's if, a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. And if that does happen, you know, we'll talk about it next week on the St. Louis Sportists podcast. Until then, take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportists podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.